We'll say good morning. Today's daf is Chav Tes 29, and our shir this morning is dedicated by Baruch Fishel and Sonia Kozlovsky and Harry and Adrian Kozlovsky in commemoration of the yard site of Baruch Fishel and Harry's mother, Rose Kozlovsky, Rachel Bas Leib Fishel. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama will have an aliyah and their family and the chama. Shkoyach. So as we are picking up on Chav Tes Amud Aleph 29a, we're actually picking up on Chav Tes Amud Aleph. So Ella Amar Rava, we're picking up. It's 2, 4, 5 lines down from the top. So we'll say, remember, just to orient ourselves a little bit, we are discussing the concept of Chazaka. The concept that extended residence or extended usage of either, we've been talking about both residential as well as agricultural land over the course of 3 years, has the ability to establish the presumption of ownership. So we were discussing, where do the 3 years come from? So you've established that according to Rabbi Yishmael, they come from the concept of muad. And we went ahead and we established that yesterday. We also went ahead and discussed, so then the Gemara switches gears and says, according to the Rabbanon, where do the Rabbanon learn out the concept of muad from? So the Gemara posited that perhaps they learned it out from Yirmiyahu HaNavi, where Yirmiyahu says, warning them 2 years prior to the exile from Yerushalayim, go ahead and make sure to return to record your property transactions in a deed, because since you're not going to have the requisite years of chazaka, you're going to need the piece of paper to establish your ownership. To which the Gemara essentially ended off by saying, maybe Yirmiyahu HaNavi is not giving them halachic advice, but rather what? Just what we call an Eitzah Tova. He's just giving them good advice that you should record your property deals in writing. Okay, so we'll say, so therefore, we're still trying to figure out from where the Rabbanon know that the 3 years establishes Chazakah. Allah Amar Rava. Now the Rava says the following. The reality is, it's not as much based on a pasuk as much as it's based just on human behavior. Allah Amar Rava. Shasa kamaisa machal inish. So says Rava, the truth is, in year one, if somebody's living on my property, so I'm willing to be mochel. Tarti mochel. 2 years, I'm willing to be mochel. Tlas lo mochel. But I will say 3 years, a person is not mochel on that type of usage. Therefore, again, if somebody is living on my property for 3 years and I don't say something, therefore what? That automatically translates into a presumption of ownership. And because people do not allow others to dwell on their property. 1 year, maybe. 2 years, maybe. 3 years, no way. Therefore, if someone is there for 3 years, that indicates that what? That indicates that lemaisa, again, that person living there is the true owner. Amar the Abai. Abai says, okay, well, if that's the case, elame ato, ki hajra ara. So we'll say again, so let's play this out. So let's say it turns out that in year two, so somebody's living on my property, and in year two, I voice opposition to this. And I say, you're living on my property. So I prevent the individual from going ahead and acquiring a chazaka. They now have to move off my property. The halacha should be that although they have to move back off my property, they do not have to repay me any type of, or any amount of payros that they have consumed. As we'll say, there's an interesting follow-up to this discussion, which is, so let's say again, Reuven is living on my property, and 2 years in, I go ahead and object. So what happens? He never establishes chazaka. Therefore, again, he has to get off my land. We'll say, but let's say he's been living on my land for 2 years, and he's consumed my produce. He's consumed produce. So what's the status of the produce? So I would have said, you know what, based on what Rava said, year one, for 1 year, the owner is mochel. Year two, the owner is mochel. And therefore, by definition, when I kick Reuven off my property, he should leave, but he should not have to pay back any produce. Alama Amrav Nachman, Hajra Arav, Hajra Peri, yet Rav Nachman says that what Rav Osai, the halacha is that when Reuven fails to establish Chazaka, and Reuven has to go ahead and go back, Reuven has to go ahead and get off my field, so the halacha is that he has to go ahead and repay me any produce that he has consumed over those 2 years, which also makes sense. Because if he doesn't get to establish the years of Chazaka, it turns out that what? What was he? He was a squatter, right? He was living there illegally, which means he consumed my produce illegally, which means that he stole from me. So in essence, halacha l'maaseh, he has to repay that which he has stolen. But Rava's, if you remember, Rava's lashon was what? That for somebody living on my property, 1 year, I'm mochel. 2 years, I'm mochel. We'll say, the lashon of mechila is a halachic term, which means that what? one forgives their rights or entitlement to something. Therefore, lemaisa, again, why should Reuven have to go ahead and pay back the produce? Ela amar Rava, so therefore Rabbi says Rava modifies his lashon. Ela amar Rava, shasa kamaisa, lo kape dinish. Rather, Rava says to do it like this: if somebody's living on my property the first year, lo kape dinish, a person is not makbid. Tarti lo kapid. Ultimately, again, a second year, also someone's not makbid. Tlos kapid. 3 years, Rabbi say I'm makbid. Now, Rabbi say, take a look. Now, interestingly enough, by the way, a very beautiful and meaningful transition over here. If you notice, Rashi's Perush on Baba Basra ends over here. And for the rest of the Masechta, we have the Rashbam. The Rashbam, remember, was the grandson of Rashi. So then you'll notice, by the way, a dramatic distinction between the Rashbam and Rashi. The Rashbam is more verbose. So you'll see this again, not repetitive, just actually has a different explanatory style than the Zaydus. Look what he writes over here. Alma Amar Rav Nachman. So now in the Rashbam, he says the Kaman B'Shmeit in Gabe Machzik Karka Chavera Va'az. I'm sorry. Tarti Lo Kapti. Look at Rashbam. Tarti Lo Kapti. Al Ma Shezet Yori L'Soch Sadeu Shachaver B'Lo Shuso. Umiu Piri Lo Machil. So listen to this. Rav Nachman now is redefining what Rava said, and Rav Nachman is saying the following: that Rava means like this. In the first year, I'm not Machbin. I will say now. Machbin means what? Machbin means that lemaisa, I'm not makbid, and that I'm not going to kick someone off the property. Am I going to go ahead and be mochel the peros? No, I'm not mochel the peros. In other words, I have in mind that at some point that I'm going to get this guy off my property, and I'm going to take back my produce as well. I'm just not necessarily immediately vigilant in getting him off my field. Tarti lo kapti, Rashi says, excuse me, Rashbam once more, he says, Amash is a yori the soch sadeh, who shall chaveh, who shall so, omiyo peri lo machel, tlas kapit, hoil vishidish vavalto, likarnis below rishos abaylim, So we'll say 3 years a person will be makbid. In other words, no one lets someone else live on their field for 3 years without voicing concern or without voicing objection. Unless, of course, I sold the field to that individual. So we'll say now everything makes sense. Because now we also understand why if I go ahead and I voice my objection to the fact that Reuven's living on my field after 2 years, not only does he have to vacate the field, but what? He also has to pay me back the produce. Because again, although I wasn't makbid to get him off the field immediately, I'm absolutely makbid on keeping a tally on the amount of produce that's been consumed, and I'm going to demand back payment for that. So the Gemara goes weiter. Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Elimiato, but using this logic, Kegon Hani Debe Bar El Yashiv. So if that's the case, Rabbi Hussein, the properties that belong to the family of Baral Yashiv. Dekapti afilu aman decholif amitzra dido. So we'll say, the family of Baral Yashiv, who are very makbid on people walking on their property, or using their property. So makbid that they got angry at people who walked on the property line, between their property and someone else's property. As we'll say, so what it's saying over here is, this was a family that if somebody was on their property, they would make a macha. They would object to it immediately. So in a family like that, the Gemara suggests, hachanami, dila altra havichazaka. So we'll say, with a family like Baral Yashiv, if I'm using one of their fields, we'll say, then that should create an immediate chazaka. Why should it create an immediate chazaka? Because if they didn't sell it to me, then what? They would have been voicing, right, a strenuous objection. The fact that they're not voicing a strenuous objection indicates that what? That they sold it to me, or they gifted it to me, whatever it is, that I am the owner of it. To which the Gemara says, V'chitei machinami. So maybe you'll say you're right. So you'll say, by the way, this goes in line with the idea that although we established 3 years for chazaka, 3 years is the norm. Just like by agriculture, we saw that 3 years doesn't have to be 3 years, but 3 years can mean three distinct crops. So if there's a family that's known for their incredible, what's the right word? We'll call it, sticklerkeit, that they go ahead and they don't like other people on their property. So me living on their property, even for a shorter amount of time, should establish a chazaka. Because if they didn't sell it to me, they would have gone ahead and made a big stink about it earlier. So Gemara says, okay, maybe you'll say that's true. So maybe let's say with the Baral Yashiv family, one could establish a chazaka much earlier on. The problem is, v'chitei machinami, imkein nasata lidvarecha l'shiurin. The problem we'll say, of course, is that the one thing we try to avoid in halacha is multiple subcategories of any one particular shear. That we like to establish a shear, and that shear, that amount, is the amount that applies across the board. So therefore, if we're going to establish for us a debt or for land, that there's a chazakah of 3 years, we don't want it to be that for this family, the chazakah is this amount of time, for this family, the chazakah is this amount of time. Rather, we want to establish one objective amount of time to establish chazakah. So the Gemara says, Allah Amar Rava, Shasa Kamayusam is Dar Inish Pishtari. Also, listen to this. Rather, here's what it comes down to. Also, when a person purchases property, there's only a certain amount of time with which they are vigilant with keeping the shtar. This is an interesting idea. So you all say, we live in such a different time. In the digital age, you know, you could preserve your documents forever. So in the Gemara is saying, societally, how long did people hold on to purchase documents? I'm purchasing a piece of land. How long does a person normally hold on to the shtar? To which the Gemara says, Rava says, in the first year, people are certainly careful with the shtar. Shtar, right? Shasa kamaisa mizdayinish bishtari. Tarti utlas. Mizdar, and the truth is, even for 2 or 3 years, a person is careful with the shtar. However, tfei lo mizdaher. But I will say, ultimately, again, for more than three years, people are not careful with their shtar. So I will say, so the idea over here is that essentially we see like this. A person is careful to hold on to their shtar for the amount of time essentially for which it is necessary to acquire chazakah. After 3 years that I have acquired chazakah, then what? Then at that point in time, a person no longer holds on to the shtar wirebos, because I don't need it. Because after 3 years, I have something even stronger than a shtar, and that's what? That's what? Chazakah. So it says the Gemara, Amalei Abaye Ela Me'ata, Ma'achal Shalom B'fan Ablob Tav Me'achal. If that's the case, says Abaye, Moshe says, because that's what we learned yesterday, that remember, in order to prevent, let's say I'm living on Reuven's land, in order for Reuven to prevent me from establishing a chazakah, he has to make a macha. He has to object to my residence sometime during those 3 years. So the Gemara says, so remember, we established that the owner could make an objection even not in the presence of the squatter. So the Gemara says, well, 1 second. If that's the case, that a person only holds on to their shtar for 3 years, a macha shelo b'fanav, if the owner makes a macha, he objects to my residence on his piece of land, and he doesn't do it in my presence, it should not be a good macha. The Amarle, because I could have always said to him, Imachis ba'apoi have a mizdaharna b'shtarai. Because I could say to Reuven, listen, had you made the macha my presence, then what? I would have known that you're objecting to my residence. Had I known that you're objecting to my residence, then what? I would have been more careful and vigilant of holding on to my paperwork, holding on to my shtar. To which the Gemara says, that's not a good, it's not a good taina. The Amarle, chavra islay. The chavra, chavra islay. Your friend has a friend, and the friend of your friend has a friend. Which also says another way of saying what? That if I make a macha, even if it's not in your presence, you're going to find out about it. Fine. So we'll say, so therefore again, what we say is the following. That it seems to be according to the Rabbanon, the logic is people only hold on to shtaros for 3 years, because after 3 years, ultimately again, you have something even stronger than a shtar, which is the chazakah. Okay, so Amar Rav Huna Shalosh Shalosh Sha'amru. So we'll say, now that we've established that everyone subscribes, agrees, buys into this concept of chazakah, so both Rabbi Shmuel and as well as Rabban, although they're learning it out in two different ways, now we're going to define the scope of this concept of chazakah. So Amar Rav Huna Shalosh Shalom Sha'amru Hu Sha'achlan Ritzuvos. So we'll say, when we say that 3 years establishes chazakah, that's only if they are continuous years. Three continuous years. My kamashla, which the Gemara says, okay, shkayak, we learned that already. Tanina, cheskasan shalosh shanim miyom liyom. Right, we already learned this explicitly, that in order for a chazakah to be established, you have to occupy the land for 3 years, miyom liyom, literally, continuously. So what chiddush is the Braisa teaching me over here? Or I should say, what chiddush is Rav Huna teaching me? To which you must listen to this. Ma'od tema, because if I was just learning the Mishnah, I would have said, Ma'od tema, yom liyom. What does it mean, yom liyom? La'afuke mikutos. So also, I would have thought that yom liyom comes to exclude, I'm also like, mikutos means partial years. So, meaning, if you go ahead and essentially, I live on the land for 6 months now, And then a year from now, another 6 months. And then in a year from now, another 6 months. And then in the course of 6 years, I lived there 6 months on, 6 months off. I would have thought, right? So that's not chazaka. Meaning when the Mishnah says miyom liyom, that's not chazaka. However, uli olam afilu mefuzaros. But we'll say, let's say again, I lived on the field 1 year on, 1 year off. 1 year on, 1 year off, 1 year on, 1 year off. So I'm living on the field in full one-year periods. Just what? They're not continuous years. So I might have thought that perhaps those years combine to form 3 years of chazaka. Kamash molon. We'll say kamash molon, that the halacha is that in order for the years of chazaka to work, not only must they be full years, but they must also what? They must be continuous years. So the Gemara says, "Amar Chama, Umodi Rafuna Baasre Demuvri Bagi." So we'll say, but Rav Chama says that even Rafuna, who holds that the 3 years of Chazaka must be continuous years, agrees in the following situation: Baasre Demuvri Bagi. Now we'll say, what's so? If you look at the Rashbam, the first wide line in the Rashbam, he says, "Umodi Rafuna." But even Rav Huna will agree that scattered years of Osir, what we'll call non-contiguous years, which means, let's say, for example, 1 year on, 1 year off, 1 year on, 1 year off, 1 year on, 1 year off, both will agree, even Rav Huna will agree, that in a situation like that, so you can establish a chazaka. If we'll look at the next Rashbam, Ba'asra demuvri bagi, b'makom sheno agin, lizroa shana, Ula hovir shana shola hachish es akarka to ach sikva kid mechaski inshi. So this is actually very interesting. Let's say you live in a place. Asra demuvri bagi means in a place where they allow land to lay fallow. So let's say so in some agricultural circles, the way they would use agricultural land is they plant it 1 year, leave it fallow the next year. The logic behind the Rabosai was that you plant in year one, leave it fallow year two. Year two, the land has the ability to replenish its nutrients, and you get a bountiful crop in year number three. So Rabosai, so therefore, again, even Rav Huna will agree. Even Rav Huna, who says that you need contiguous years, will agree that if you're in a place where they plant 1 year on, 1 year off, that ultimately, again, you could establish chazaka like that. Now, how long will it take you to establish chazaka in such a situation like that? It'll take you 6 years. Because remember, the years in which the land lays fallow, one cannot establish chazaka. Because chazaka requires some type of proprietary act on the land itself. So therefore, the chiddush over here is that although the land... See, I might have thought that the fallow year interrupts the flow of the chazaka year. So kamash molon in that type of case where this is the regional practice, so the fallow year will not interrupt the chazaka year, but the fallow year does not count towards the chazaka year. The Rashbam goes on, this is what he says, "Umiyu shana shavira eina ola cheshbon shalosh ne chazaka." So it's just the fallow year does not count towards the years of chazaka. V'tzarech lishmor shtara yosim shaloshanim ad sheyilkot shalosh shanim. And then both say again, so one will have to go ahead and hold on to a shtar for a total of 6 years. V'itarn is a fine. So there, I'm sorry? Five years. Okay, good. Right. So we'll say, so back up to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, so umodi rafuna by asra de movri bagi. To which the Gemara says, pshita. So is that not obvious? So we'll say, so what's the chiddush in that? Obviously, again, even Rav Huna will agree that in that case, the fallow year is part of the normal working of the land. Lo tzicha, what's the case? The ika de movir, the ika de lo movir. So we'll say, the chiddush over here is, let's say, this is taking place in a locale where there are some who go ahead and leave their land fallow, and some who do not leave their land fallow. So in other words, we're talking about in a place where there are different practices. V'haigavra muvra. And so we'll say, so what happens? So watch how this case plays out. So now, let's go with what we have so far. So you got Rav Huna telling us that in order for a chazaka to be a chazaka, you need three continuous years. Meaning not just that the unit of the year has to be continuous, but the 3 years themselves must be continuous as well. However, if they're in an agricultural situation where the custom is 1 year on, 1 year off, so in that case, again, the off years do not interrupt the flow of the chazakah, although they do not count towards the chazakah. So says the Gemara, is that not obvious? No, to which, what's the case of Osai? The case is where the land that I'm living on happens to be in a place where there's not a uniform practice. Some follow this practice, or called of the alternate fallow year, and some do not follow this practice of the alternate fallow year. To which the Gemara says, "V'hai muvra, v'hai gavra muvra," and I, the one who's living on the land, choose to go ahead and adopt the alternate fallow year model. So, ma'adatema, what would I have thought? Amarle, Reuven could have said to me, "Im Isa didach hu havi iboy lecha lemizrei." Perhaps Reuven could come along and say to me, "Listen, Silber, you don't have chazaka. You know why? Because if it was really your land, then what? Then you should have been working it 3 years continuously." Kamash Malan, the Amarle that I could say back to him, "Chada ara bekule baga lo matzina lintar." Well, so this is actually very interesting. Let's say again, I'm living in a place where some do observe the alternate fallow year and some do not. So I'll say, even if I want to observe the alternate fallow year, I want to work the land straight. If all of the neighboring fields are observing the alternate fallow year, I'm going to have great difficulty doing it. Why? Because I will say, fields, right, farmers often used to pitch in to hire a watchman. Right, you want someone who's going to be by your field to protect the crops, either to scare away people, scare away animals. If no one else is planting that year, and I'm the only guy planting that year, that means what? It means what? I have to absorb the full cost of the watchman. So Bob says, even if I want to plant on the fallow year, if no one else is doing it, it creates a financial hardship. So I could say again, because I could say back to Reuven, no, I was going to plant on the fallow year, I did not, because all of my neighbors didn't, and therefore what? One piece of land in the entire plain, lo matzina lintar. The cost for providing security will be too intense. V'inam, the other possibility is, I want the land to lay fallow, because it will say, by observing the alternate fallow year, I do what? I ensure that my field is even stronger. I ensure that my field has even more nutrients, and therefore my crop will be even better. So we'll say, so we have over here is that Lamaisa. Rav Huna says the years must be contiguous, but that Inachinami, if you have a situation in which you live in a place where people observe the alternate fallow year model, those alternate years will come. The fallow year does not count towards Chazaka, but the good news is what? It does not disrupt the years of Chazaka either. Tnan. Cheskas habatim. So also remember again, the Mishnah talked about the chazaka for homes is 3 years. V'habatim di b'yamama yadi, b'layla lo yadi. So this is actually a very interesting Gemara. So remember, in order to establish a chazaka on a home, you have to what? You have to prove that you have lived there 3 years by day and by night. Because remember, the usage of a home is by day and by night. So chazaka is established by establishing your domicile by day and by night. But here's the problem. People might know that you're living there by day, but no one knows if you're there at night. So we'll say, who are the ones who generally give testimony about the chazaka on a home? Shivchi, your neighbors. Shivchi meida yadi b'yamama ubalayla. Well, this is a very interesting statement about neighbors. Your neighbors always know if you're home or if you're not, right? So your neighbors know if you're home by day, your neighbors know if you're home by night, so therefore, the ma'isa, again, they can give the eidos on the chazaka that you live there by day and by night. Interesting. Rava Amar can go into Asu Beitrei. Rava could say that the case of Osai of where we're establishing a chazaka on the home is the following. Two people come, v'amri anan agrinan minei, vidarina beit las shana b'yimam v'layla. So let's listen to this. Interestingly enough, the way I could establish a chazaka, I should say, we assume that the paradigmatic way in which one establishes a chazaka over a home is how? is how? By living in it. There's another way of establishing chazaka. We'll say, if I rent it out to someone for 3 years, and that person testifies they lived there because I rented it out, my renting it out to them is also a display of ownership. So Rava says, what's the case? The Mishnah will say, two people show up, and they say, listen, Silber rented this home to us for 3 years, and we lived here for 3 years by day and by night. And we'll say, now the beauty of that is what? They are giving testimony. There are two people. They're giving eidos that they lived in this house by day and by night, not because they owned it, but because they rented it from me. So their testimony is essentially attesting to my ownership over this domicile. You can't accept the eidos of these two guys. You know why? Because there's what we call nogeb eidusan. Nogeb eidusan means that they have a vested interest in having their eidos believed, and therefore we'll say any time that a witness has a material interest in having his testimony believed, his testimony is discounted. What's their material interest? De'ilo, because we'll say if we don't believe them, then what? De'ilo amriachi, amrina luhu zele havel agar beisalahai. We'll say if it turns out that's what? It turns out that, not that they're not telling the truth, but if it turns out that I am not the owner of the home, then guess what, Rabbi Osai? They own 3 years of back rent to Reuven, who's the real owner. Therefore, they have a vested interest in what? In testifying to my ownership of the house, because I'm the one who rented it to them, and I'm the one who they paid. To which the Gemara says, Amarle, was actually a very strong wording. So he said to him, Daini de Shefili Hachi Daini. Only inferior judges would judge this way, which is another way of saying, I believe you may be incorrect. So Milo Askinon Kegon Dinakiti Agar Besa. We'll say, what's the case? The case is not where the tenants already paid, but rather the case is where the tenants have the money in hand. V'amri Leman Lese. And the tenants are saying, to whom shall we pay the money? In other words, the tenants are showing up and they have 3 years of rent ready to pay. They're saying, listen, Silber is the one who rented it to us. Silber's the one who rented it to us, and therefore we are ready to pay him. And also, by the way, not only ready to pay him, but also our testimony serves to bolster his chazaka over this land. Fine. And we're saying, in that kind of case, we would believe them. Why would we believe them? Because they'll say, they actually don't have a horse in this race. Why? Because what's the worst case scenario? If it turns out that's what? That I'm not the owner, so who cares? They're going to pay, and they have the money in hand. They have not yet paid. So whether they're going to pay me or they're going to pay Reuven, that does not represent a material interest in the eidos to them. They're going to pay someone, and they haven't paid yet. In a case like this, also, therefore, when they show up and they say, Silber rented this property to us, and we have lived here for 3 years, so that eidos by itself bolsters my chazaka over the land. Fine, to which the Gemara says the following. Amar Mar Zutra, V'toyin V'amar, Leisu Tre Sadi Lasude Le Didar Beitlas Shani Biamama Ubalaila Ta'ana Seitani. And Marzucha comes along and says what Rabbo say. Marzucha says that if the supposed owner of the land says to the person who was living there, bring witnesses that you lived there for 3 years by day and by night, this is a valid taina. The owner would absolutely have the right to demand this of the person who is currently living on land. Let's take a look at the Rashbam again. Omer Mar Zutra Itoim, last Rashbam on the page. Mil Saba'an Pei Nafshei. We'll say this is a separate stand-alone statement. He says, "Dipshita leila Mar Zutra, the afagav de bal kohana chamurai leel gimushanam retzufos." Even though, again, everyone beforehand required 3 contiguous years for chazaka. Afilu hachi in mechayven es hamachzik lahavi edim sheyaidu beferu shakol yom valelos elo. Ya'idu stam shera'uhu dar gimel shanim umistama im dar bebayis af balelos darbo. So we'll say, listen to this. Up until now, we have assumed that Rabbi will say, how do I establish chazaka? I go ahead and I bring Aiden that say that I lived in this land for 3 years. I lived in this property for 3 years. And Rabbi will say, when they testify that we have seen Silber living in this property for 3 years, that's the chazaka. Now, are they testifying we've seen Silber living there by day and by night? No. They're saying, stam, for the last 3 years, we have seen this to be his residence. We've seen this to be his domicile. Marzutra comes along and says something amazing. So finish up. V'kamer Marzutra, di'itoin ma'arer, v'ama aisi sahadi, ta'naso ta'ino. People say, Marzutra says something amazing. That if the supposed owner of the land says, Silber, you're a squatter, and you have to bring Eidos, that you lived there by day and by night. I want Eidos, that you have lived in this property by day and by night. Listen, let's say Reuven is a supposed one. Reuven says, Silber, I know you've been living there. I never bothered to make a macha. Why? Because you were never there at night. So because you were never there at night, I assume that's what? You never really established a chazaka. If you are now claiming that you have a chazaka, that you were there by day and by night, I demand that you bring Eidos, that you bring testimony, that you lived there by day and by night. And Marzutra says that the halacha is on the side of Reuven, and Reuven could demand that I bring Eidos, I lived there by day and by night. Listen, I want to be clear. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to bring Eidos, that I lived there every single night and every single day. We're talking about Eidos that could say that we've seen him, we've seen Silber live there over a sustained period of time, both by day and by night. So also, I want to be clear on something. Under normal circumstances, the Eidos for Chazaka, I'm living on a piece of land, the supposed owner challenges the fact that I'm there, says I'm a squatter. I have to bring Eidos that I have lived there for 3 years. Under normal circumstances, that Eidos is, we have seen Silber live on that land for 3 years. That's it. Marzutra's coming along and saying that if the supposed owner challenges me and says, you need to bring me Eidos that you live there by day and by night, that locha sides with the supposed owner, and I have to supply that type of Eidos. Amud Beis. Umodi Marzutra. But Marzutra will agree. Berochlin hamachzirin bayaros. Listen to this. So Marzutra will agree that if the owner, the supposed owner of the property, Israel says, what the Ruchlan is a spice salesman, or really a perfume salesman. Both saying now, perfume salesmen were traveling salesmen. And they were often away from home very often. The Afagav the Lotain, even if he does not make the Taina, I'll explain this in just a moment. Ta'aninan le'anan. We make that Taina for us. Let's go back for a second. So Marzutra is coming along and saying that Lamaisa, the supposed owner of the property, has the right to demand a more thorough type of Eidos that says that I have to bring Eidos that I live there both by day and by night. Now, under normal circumstances, I will say, although the supposed owner of the land could ask that, Beis Din would not normally require that type of Eidos, right? Beis Din would just simply say, to establish Chazaka, as long as I have Eidos that says that I live there for 3 years, that's enough. The owner could push me for more, but Beis Din wouldn't demand that. However, there are certain circumstances where Beis Din will get involved. For example, let's say it turns out I am living on Reuven's land. And Reuven comes back and he says, listen, you're a squatter. What's Reuven's profession? He's a traveling salesman. I will say, now what's the chat? Because he's a traveling salesman, he's often not home. In a case like that, Beis Din will say, Silber, the Eidos you have to provide is that you lived there by day and by night continuously over the course of 3 years. Because since this is the type of situation which is easily exploitable, someone who travels for a living and is often not home, therefore Beis Din will demand a higher threshold of Eidos. Beis Din will require me not just to have Eidos, I lived there for 3 years, but that I lived there continuously by day and by night. Look at Rashbam for just a moment. Modrab Marzutra Ruchlan Achzir Bayaro Staff Agav. Afagav the Sphere of Marzutra. Even though under normal circumstances, Marzutra says that if the supposed owner of the land asks for this heightened threshold of Eidos, you need Eidos by day and by night, we will agree that is a request that I must comply with. Beis Din does not demand that. Modi hu heichad dahavi ma'ar erocha la machzer ba'ayaros limkar kishut in Hashem ve'ino chozil yiro kim zman lezman aruch ta'af agav lo toim laisi machzik sadi didar bat ritzufos yomam balayla. So we'll say ultimately again, even we will agree, Marzucci will agree, that in this case, where the supposed owner is never home, that's such the idea, never home, that Beis Din will demand of the squatter a heightened level of Eidus, that he has lived in the property both by day and by night. Umovdu Rafuna. And also, furthermore, Rafuna says, Bechanusa de Mechuzah. Rafuna will agree that in the storefront, Sabosai Mechuzah, de li Yamama Avida, Lelaila lo Avida, that one only needs to establish Chazaka ultimately by day and not by night. I will say, now look at Rashi, but just the Rashi once more. Even though we normally establish that in order to establish Chazaka, you need a Chazaka by day and by night, 3 years of by day and by night. Listen to this. Apparently, it used to be the practice that people would live in their stores, or maybe better say, people would live above their stores. So therefore, again, if you wanted to lay chazaka to a storefront property, you had to establish chazaka both by day and by night. So the Gemara is just suggesting that Rafuna says, in the stores in Mechuza, the common practice was what? People did not live in their stores. So therefore, how do you establish chazaka in Mechuza? By daytime residence only. Fine. Rami bar Chama v'Rav Okva bar Chama. Zabin hahi am sabah adedir. So another very interesting case. So what happens? Rami bar Chama and Rav Okva, brothers, right? Both the sons of bar Chama, Rami and Rav Okva, bought a maidservant together, right? So they bought a maidservant in partnership. How do they divide up the maidservant? Mar ishtamish ba yishona shlishes vechamishes. So partner number one, brother number one, so used her in years 1, 3, and 5. Umar ishtamish ba shnia revias veshishes. And brother number two, partner number two, used her in years 2, 4, and 6. So we'll say, so they split her service alternating every other year. What happens? Nafik ir or iluya. So we'll say, so what happens? So literally, nafik ir or iluya means somebody contested their ownership of this maidservant and what? Claim that she was actually owned by someone else. So asla kanei rava. So we'll say, so they came up with a rava and they wanted to go ahead and assert their ownership over the maidservant. Amr the host, let's listen to this. So remember, what's the problem? See, remember, avadim are like karka. How do you establish chazak over karka? How do you establish it? 3 years. What's the problem with Rabosai? Although they used her collectively for more than 3 years, no one partner has had 3 contiguous years of chazaka. So they come before Rava. They say, "What can we do?" So Rava says, "Amar lahu, my time avidit tuachi." So he asked the brothers, "Tell me, why did you split up the service of the maidservant the way that you did? In other words, why did you split her up amongst the two of you over alternate years?" Well, I know why. Kehi dol techasku ahadadi. You did it in order that neither of you could go ahead and create a chazaka against the other. In other words, the reason you did it like this is that no brother, no partner should be able to have 3 contiguous years, because 3 contiguous years gives you a chazaka. Getting a chazaka gives you the ability to object to the ownership interest of the other partner. Well, Rabbi says, well, now you're in a bind. Why? Because kiyechi d'lididaychu lohavi chazaka, because the same way that you don't have a chazaka against one another, so to what? Li'alma nami lohavi chazaka. You also have no chazaka out the outside world. In other words, the Tavos say, legabi everyone else, you don't have a chazaka either. Therefore, again, if someone else is claiming that they have a chazaka, or they have ownership over the maidservant, you will not be able to use the argument of chazaka to go ahead and assert your ownership. You have to prove your ownership in some different way, to which the Gemara Sivilo Amran, El Dolodolo Kasav Itra. This is only true if there was not an Itra. What's an Itra? Take a look at the Rashbam. Itra. Shtar Chaluka. Ube'edim shetabo l'zeshana u l'zeshana. As Rabbi say, Rabbi was saying, it's only true if you don't have a shtar. But if you have a shtar that says you bought this maidservant, and that shtar what? That shtar outlines the way that you are going to jointly go ahead and use this maidservant, then that shtar bolsters your ownership.
And why would you need chazak if you have a shtar?
I'm sorry?
Why would you need chazak if you have a
Because what happens if somebody produces a competing shtar? So in other words, what happens, somebody else, so you in whatever the situation is, you have two people who have equal claims, or at least put forward equal claims, what's the tiebreaker? So I would have thought that the chazaka would be the tiebreaker. Well, Rav is saying you don't have a chazaka, to which the Gemara says, well, you kind of do. Because if you have a shtar that outlines disagreement, then essentially, because your partners who are both vested in the same shtar, 3 years of joint usage, however it's going to be broken up, will essentially form chazaka vis-a-vis someone else's claim. It's that even if someone else produces a shtar, you have the upper hand because you have chazaka. So says the Gemara Valkasav Itra, Kala Isle. Rabbi said, ultimately, again, if there's a shtar has a call. Rabbi said, remember, the chap over here is, the call of the shtar is what? That it allows 3 years of combined usage. Even though what? Those years do not belong to one partner. But those years represent the composite years of two partners' years worth of ownership. Those years will form together to create a chazaka, and ultimately, again, will solidify the ownership of the brothers. Amen, Rava. So Rava says, "Achla kula chutz mi beis rova." So we'll say, what happens if, let's say, we'll say, so now again, remember, we're up to chazaka, and in the chazaka, ultimately, again, I'm using the property. Let's say I used all of the property with the exception of the quarter of a base kav. So he's the whole field with the exception of a quarter of a base kav. What's the halacha? Kana kula chutz mi beis rova. So we'll say the halacha is, you acquire the whole property, with the exception of the area that you did not use. So we'll say, what the Gemara is saying over here is the following. There's a big field. I used all of the field except for some part of it. So the halacha is, Rabbi said, that my chazaka only devolves upon the part of the property that I use. The part of the property that I don't use, my chazaka does not devolve upon it. See, what's the havamina? The havamina is also that I would have thought what? That if there's only one small piece of property that I did not use, then what? Then it's kind of subsumed by the rest of the greater field. Kamashmala, no. If you do not exhibit ownership over that part of the field, that part of the field is excluded. Amra punim rejei Yeshua. V'lo amran debar zriyahi. So we'll say ultimately, again, Rav Huna Radi Yavshua said, that's only true if what? If the land ultimately is capable of being planted. In other words, if the land is capable of being planted and I didn't plant it, that shows that what? I'm not acquiring that land and therefore it's excluded from my chazaka. Avalav bar zriyahi konilo agavara. But we'll say, if at the end of the day, that part of land was not plantable, then what? I do acquire it, agav, you know, on the back of the rest of the land. So we'll say what the Gemara is saying over here is the following. There's a large field, and I planted the plantable area, or I used the usable area. But the part that was not usable, I didn't use. So we'll say, I acquired that small portion through the larger portion. But if the smaller portion was usable, but I did not use it, then lemais, again, I do not acquire the smaller part. So Rabbi Barabai says, but 1 second, if that's the case, how does a person ever acquire tsunma? We'll say tsunma is a rock. How do I acquire a rock, knowing that a rock ultimately, again, is not a plantable area? The way I acquire a rock, Rabbi say is how? Is I use the rock. How do I use the rock? I let my animals stand on it, or I spread out fruit to dry on it, which is another way of saying that even non-plantable areas must be acquired through some type of chazaka usage. Hachanami soto over here, ibayle lo'ukme b'cheyusa, inami meshatcha b'peri. So we'll say ultimately again, we'll say what comes out over here is the following. That lamaisa, even in an area that is not plantable, so our non-plantable areas still are governed by the laws of chazaka, which means I must demonstrate some level of ownership over that area. Now again, so we'll say, let's take a step back. So what the Gemara is suggesting is the following. Chazaka is the demonstration of ownership. Demonstration of ownership looks differently for different parcels of land. If the land is plantable, then demonstration of ownership ultimately means what? Planting on the land. If the land is not plantable, like for example, it's either arid land or it's a rock, then what? I have to let my animal stand on it or I have to dry fruit on it. But if I do not exhibit ownership over some part of land, then what? Then my chazaka does not apply to that land. So you could have a case where you have one parcel, but let's say again, you only use 96% of that parcel 4% remains unused. Chazaka only devolves upon the part that was used. The 4% that is unused, your chazaka does not cover it. And even if that 4% is different than the rest of them, let's say the 96% is plantable, the 4% is not, so the chazaka for the 96% will be planting on it, the chazaka for the 4% is just any kind of usage. Whether it's letting your animals sit there, putting your peros on it, but there must be some type of usage in order to go ahead and establish chazaka. Alright, we'll say, we'll stop over Emir Tashem. We'll pick up with the case of Ahu Beisa, Emir Tashem tomorrow. Shkoyach.